It's time now for hour number two of this weekend's two-hour installment of A Touch of Grey, the talk show for grown-ups. My name is Michael Harrison. I'm in the anchor chair. And Carol Marks, the host of the program, is here front and center to kick this hour off in a conversation with Sarah Paretsky. She's the author of 19 books, including her renowned V.I. Warshawski novels. She's going to talk about her latest novel, Critical Mass, published by Putnam.
Why, when you came up in 1982 with a female private detective, V.I., you know, you had the insight to make her smart and tough and not afraid to tackle anything, and yet she was good with people. And that was such an innovative thing to do way back then. So how did you come up with the idea?
Well, for those who don't remember the 60s, 70s, 80s, that was a time when women were first starting to do jobs that just hadn't existed for us when we were growing up. And I was part of the first wave of women in management, as other women were going into the journalism or law or medicine in big numbers. But one thing that hadn't changed was the way that women were being treated on the page. So every time I read a crime novel, which was what I mostly read, I found that women who had a sex life were wicked, they had to be killed. Women who didn't have a sex life were stupid, they couldn't even find the front door with their eyes open. And I wanted a character who was like me and my friends, you know, doing one of those new jobs for women, but not being afraid to take chances, solving her own problems the way women do. And that was really how V.I. got started. She's a Chicagoan through and through. She lives and dies with the Chicago Cubs. She has a very close-knit group of friends. Her mother died when she was a teenager, but her mother is very present in the novels as a kind of a voice in her head, a constant reminder to do the right thing, not to settle for second best, and above all, not to lie or cut corners the way that we see happening so much in the world around us.
Certainly going on today. And your main character, V.I., she really reflects your, you know, passion for social justice. And you often write about the crimes behind the crime, and that's so important. Now, I want to get to Critical Mass, which is your latest book. And isn't it loosely based on a woman scientist, Marietta Blau, and her groundbreaking work?
Carol.
Yeah. So can you tell us about her work, and how did you find out anything about cosmic ray physics, because that was what she was into?
Marietta Blau was a scientist in Vienna in the 1930s, and her work was so important that Einstein and another Nobel Prize winner, Erwin Schrödinger, both nominated her for the Nobel Prize, which she never won. When the Nazis were closing in on Austria, Einstein tried to get her a job in the United States and couldn't. He finally, at the last second, got her a job teaching high school in Mexico City. When I first read about her, which was just a little paragraph, my husband's a physicist, and I was flipping through his Physics Today, and I saw this paragraph that I could understand, so I read it. It was a little biography of her, and I just was fascinated by her. I started reading what I could about her, and I learned that Vienna was just an amazing city in the 1930s. It was kind of like half the population loved the Nazis and half were really experimental. They were creative, and they set up the first hot school lunch for poor children anywhere in the world, for instance. And they really welcomed women scientists. So they had a physics institute where 40% of the researchers were women, and that all came to an end when Hitler annexed Austria. They got rid of the Jews, of course, and a lot of the scientists were Jews, but they didn't like women of any religion working, so they got rid of the women, too. And the more I read about it, the more I wanted to write about it. So I created a woman who's very loosely based on this historic figure. Her story, my character's story, is very different except for being one of those amazing women in Vienna in the 1930s. But it's a VI story. It's set in Chicago. It's set in the present. And what it really is about is how the sort of the horrors and the traumas and also the excitement of the race to split the atom just have left all of us, I think, with a lot of, some with scars, certainly everyone with memories. Those, that era just set out very long roots that's present in all of our lives today.
And I understand that your husband also worked on the atomic bomb.
My husband was actually a Royal Naval officer during the Second World War. He took part in the Normandy invasion. But when he came to the United States after the war, he was a protege of Enrico Fermi, who, of course, was the father of the atom bomb. And it was through him that, not Fermi, who died in the 1950s, but through my husband, that I had the privilege of meeting some of the most extraordinary and exciting people of the 20th century, these amazing scientists, mostly men, some women. And they love their work, and to them it's not work. To them it's play. They're so engrossed in it and so engaged in it. My husband has three sons, and when they were all teenagers living with us, they might be fighting in the living room. The TV would be on. The dog would be barking. I would be trying to do my thing. And Courtney would just be so engrossed in the problem he was trying to solve that he didn't hear any of it. And I admired it. I envied it. I've never had that kind of passion or concentration, and I wanted to try to bring it to life, and that's, this book, Critical Mass, is in a way my tribute to my husband and his extraordinary mind.
And
he's also a very wonderful guy, too.
Yes, and you're very lucky to have a great marriage. And I wanted to talk a little bit, ask you about something that you accomplished in this mystery that I was really impressed about, and that was you took your characters in Critical Mass from, you know, the present day back to the days of World War II. So what kind of research did you have to do, and was it difficult to show that what happens in one era can continue to affect a family in future eras?
Yes, Carol, it really was hard. You've hit the nail on the head there. I struggled with a way to, we're talking about a 70-year gap, really, and I wanted a way to bring those two very remote time periods together. And I did it through family stories. So I have two families who are, well, three, really, who are all coming out of Vienna in the 1930s. I have V.I. Warshawski's oldest and dearest friend, Dr. Lottie Herschel, was herself a refugee. As a little child, she was sent to Vienna, I mean from Vienna to London. And then I have my physicist, my brilliant woman, Martina Saginaw, and then the man who won the Nobel Prize, who was her mentor. And there are a lot of Nobel laureates around the University of Chicago, and what I've learned is that they are like you and me. They are smarter, but they are also insecure. They're competitive. They can be jealous. They worry about who's panting over their shoulder. And so I have a guy who is a laureate, and his family who are very complicated and conflicted by growing up in the shadow of a man of that stature. So telling the story through those three families and through the generations between Vienna in 1938 when the Nazis came to power and Chicago in 2013, that was my bridge between past and present.
And of course, in your mystery, you have murders that are connected, you know, with the past and trying to keep family secrets. So it's really, you know, quite a book. And as usual, you know, you deal with some of the bad white-collar things that go on all the time in our country, dirty business practices and corrupt law enforcement officials. So whatever year you're writing about, all those things go on.
They do, and it's depressing. It's really hard to know in modern America how you find justice. And I think critical mass, like all of my books, it's not like a Robert Ludlum novel where somebody saves the world. V.I. can't do that. She can only help a few people get through a very hard time. And critical mass, there isn't really justice at the end, but what there is ordinary people, not big screen heroes, but ordinary people who do small things to help each other, to care for each other. And if there's a message in any of my books, I guess it would be that it is hard to find justice, and so we all have to look after each other. And that's what always the end of the VI novels is, VI finding comfort from a friend or a lover or really from her mother's recordings of her mother's singing, and it's the only solace that I know personally, and so that's what I give to my readers and give to my characters.
That's Sarah Paretsky in conversation with Carol Marx. Her book is titled Critical Mass. It's published by Putnam. Carol Marx returns with more conversation when A Touch of Gray, the talk show for grown-ups, continues.
Hello?
Louise, it's Ralph. Listen, would you go out with me tomorrow?
At 8? Ralph, I'd love to.
I have an appointment with my orthopedic surgeon, and I really want you to come along.
A doctor's office? That's so special. Oh, I just remembered I have to delete some emails.
Come on, Louise. We're going to talk about the pain in my hip, and I could use a little support.
I guess I'm not very hip.
You could take notes and help me remember stuff. Look, I have all my doctor questions written down, but there's so much to remember. I need you there with me so I don't miss anything.
Couldn't we just play miniature golf?
Louise, I'm not asking for a kidney.
Bringing someone to your appointment is a good way to make sure you and your physician are on the same page. The idea is to partner with your doctor and share information so you can make informed decisions together. For more on patient-doctor communications, visit orthoinfo.org, a message from the American Academy of Orthopedic Surgeons, where patient-centered care means getting better together.
Continuing now with A Touch of Gray, the talk show for grown-ups. I'm Michael Harrison in the anchor chair, and here again is the host of our program, Carol Marx, in conversation now with Sam Daly Harris. He's the founder of Results, an international citizens lobby dedicated to creating the political will to end poverty. He's going to talk about his new book, Reclaiming Our Democracy, Healing the Break Between People and Government, the 20th Anniversary Edition, published by Camino Books.
So how did you train your volunteers, and you have them of all ages? How did you educate them? And the most important thing is the great way that you keep them motivated.
Well, let me say a couple of things. First of all, I turned 67 in November, and, this activity is perfect for someone who has a little extra time.
Absolutely.
And basically we have a nationwide telephone conference call every month. So a couple of months ago, Jeff Sachs, the Columbia professor, was a guest. And the next month, about a month ago, it was Paul Farmer, who was written up in Mountains Beyond Mountains by Tracy Kidder about his work in Haiti. So there's this kind of monthly tutorial with guest speakers and Q&A and learning to be articulate and exercises. And so it really helps people go from kindergarten and first grade as a citizen to third, fifth, 12th, and into college, you might say.
And it's so important that you educate people about how to talk to their politicians, because, you know, people don't know how to do that and they're afraid. And I think that is such an important thing that you do.
Exactly. And it's paid off. When we started working in the mid-80s on child survival, UNICEF, the UN Children's Fund, was telling us that 41,000 children under the age of 5 were dying every day from preventable malnutrition disease. Now it's gone down from 41,000 to 18,000 a day, still scandalously high. And we didn't do it all, but we know we were in there year in, year out, decade in, decade out, you know, advocating for the kinds of programs that would make a difference.
And another vital field that you should be so proud of that Results been involved in is microfinance. And for those who don't know, what is microfinance? Why do you call it a hand-up, not a handout program?
Yeah, well, exactly. One of the earliest microcredit programs was in Bangladesh, and Muhammad Yunus and the Grameen Bank shared the Nobel Peace Prize in 2006. And he started making loans of less than a dollar each to 42 destitute people in the late 60s and 70s in Bangladesh. And a woman went from 2 pennies a day profit, it's hard to believe, to $1.25 a day in 1976, because now she wasn't tied to a moneylender who really abused her, you know, financially, and she could sell her finished product to the highest bidder. And so it really freed people from a kind of bonded servitude to moneylenders with these micro loans. Now they're not a dollar, they're typically 50 and 100 and 150 and more, but it's a very exciting program. And when we started lobbying in the mid-1980s, 1 million of the very poor around the world had microloans. Now it's 124 million. So, you know, again, we didn't do it all. We didn't. But we were right in there year in, year out, decade in, decade out, advocating for learning to be articulate and stepping up to the plate on these issues.
Now, Sam, if you had to say, what is the main message of your book, and what new chapter have you added to the 20th anniversary edition that's just come out? What's new?
Well, first of all, the main message is so many of us feel despair about making a difference on big issues that we care about. That despair is unwarranted. There are people who've shown the way, and you need to connect with a group like Results.org, CitizensClimateLobby.org, PeaceAlliance.org, that are providing these structures of support. One of the new chapters is on this group that I've been coaching for 6 years, Citizens Climate Lobby. And if I could just say that in the first 9 months of this year, their volunteers have had 873 letters to the editor published. They've had 153 op-eds published, and they've had 639 meetings with members of Congress or their staff in the U.S. and Canada. So this group didn't exist 6 years ago. You know, these are real breakthroughs. There's a great quote from Mark Twain, who said, "The two most important days of your life are the day you're born and the day you find out why." Well, I think people are able to express the why on a national and global scale when they get involved with a group like Results or Citizens Climate Lobby.
Oh, I couldn't agree more. And you often quote, and I love the quote from the Apollo astronaut that
right.
talked about what we need to do, and it says it so beautifully.
Yes, Rusty Schweikert said, "We aren't passengers on Spaceship Earth. We're the crew. We aren't residents on this planet. We're citizens. The difference in both cases is responsibility." I used to say in the mid-80s, when we were just getting going, we would get up out of our passenger seat and walk up to the cockpit and notice there was nobody up there. You know, and those cockpit seats are our seats, and we need to find a group that'll really support us. This one of the, in one of the new chapters, there's a drawing, and on the left side of the page is a small circle that's labeled your comfort zone. And to the right is a much larger circle that's labeled where the magic happens. And we need to find organizations that'll help us move from our comfort zone over to where the magic happens, like seeing your greatest dreams in your letter to the editor published in the papers, you know, seeing.
And isn't the important thing that you say in your book is that individuals doing it alone, it's very difficult, but to belong to a particular group,
yes,
and get the education, that's what makes you get into that magic zone so you can actually do something to bring good results.
Exactly.
Now, I also wanted to bring up something that I thought was very important about the Citizens Climate Lobby, and that they did something about an assumption that a lot of nonprofits get wrong, and that is they believe it's a mistake to focus on just one idea for a long period of time because volunteers are going to get bored. So why is this idea wrong, and what's the issue they're working
on? It's the other way around, that most groups think volunteers will get bored, so we need to switch the issue to keep it interesting. But instead, if you focus and you allow volunteers to drill down deep and get a good foundation, then they start feeling confident and competent to pick up the phone and get the appointment with the congressperson, or pick up the phone and talk to the editorial writer. And so, you know, one of the things that their executive director, Mark Reynolds, says is Congress doesn't create political will. Congress responds to political will. So it's our job to create it. And that's the kind of thing that they do with focus. And so their volunteers can go deep and feel really confident.
And so right now they're focusing on the carbon tax and the dividend, and that's so important. And finally, can you tell us about the program you founded and that you're running right now, the Center for Citizen Empowerment and Transformation? So briefly, what's that about?
Well, I'm basically going to large nonprofits and some smaller ones and saying to the heads of these organizations, could you see being coached in finding and training that small portion of your members who want to go way beyond mouse click and create champions in Congress and the media for your cause? And so that's really the work that I'm up to.
That's Sam Daly Harris in conversation with Carol Marks. And the book that he has written is titled Reclaiming Our Democracy, Healing the Break Between People and Government. It's the 20th anniversary edition, published by Camino Books. For more information, go to results.org. More A Touch of Gray coming your way in just a moment.
You want a piece of me?
You want a piece of me?
You want a piece of me?
They're not movie tough guys, just ordinary people doing something extraordinary. They're all signed up on matchingdonors.com, willing to donate their kidney to anyone who needs it. In the U.S., 19 people die each day waiting for an organ transplant, most of them for kidneys. Matchingdonors.com improves those odds by finding living, altruistic donors for patients desperately needing transplants. Go to matchingdonors.com and meet some extraordinary people. That's matchingdonors.com.
Want to stay informed when there are changes to Social Security? Subscribe to receive automatic email updates on popular Social Security web pages with the click of a button. Just visit www.socialsecurity.gov/govdelivery. More than 1 million people already receive updates to the pages they're most interested in. You can too. Look for the red envelope followed by a link that says Get Email Updates. To learn more, visit www.socialsecurity.gov/govdelivery. Social Security delivers.
This is a Driving Today Minute. Even though high gasoline prices have moderated somewhat, they're still quite high. It just makes good sense to do what you can do to reduce your fuel costs. The Alliance to Save Energy suggests a few easy things you can do.
Keep your car properly tuned up and change the air filter regularly, both to save gas and protect your engine. Curtail aggressive driving. According to the U.S. Department of Energy, speeding, rapid acceleration, and hard braking waste gas and curb mileage by as much as 33% at highway speeds.
So nix the jackrabbit starts and opt instead for slow acceleration from a dead stop. Slow down. The DOE says each mile per hour you drive over 60 is like paying an extra 10 cents per gallon. Inflate tires to the proper pressure. This will increase fuel economy and make tires safer and extend their life.
This Driving Today Minute is brought to you by Bridgestone Firestone Tires. You can get more information like this at drivingtoday.com or by visiting our partners such as autobytel.com, motorsportsforum.com, and more.
You're listening to A Touch of Gray.
check out our website at atouchofgray.com. We spell gray with an E. That's atouchofgray.com. We spell gray with an E.
Hi, I'm Sigourney Weaver. If you're like me, your dog or cat is part of the family, and they rely on you to take care of them. Like a family doctor, your veterinarian and staff know what's best for that special family member. So visit your vet regularly for checkups, for prevention of disease like heartworm, and for the best advice on everyday issues like flea and tick control. Your veterinarian knows best, so take the time to ask questions. For healthy pets, visit the vet.
A message from the American Animal Hospital Association.
You're age 65 and you've made your decision to keep working and delay receiving your benefits. That's fine, but don't forget about Medicare. Most people should apply for Medicare coverage within 4 months of reaching age 65. And there's a fast, convenient, and simple way to apply for Medicare in as little as 10 minutes. Online at www.socialsecurity.gov/Medicare only. That's socialsecurity.gov/Medicare only.
Engine.
Check.
Thrusters.
Check.
Fuel.
Check.
Computers.
Check.
Social Security.
No check, go direct.
That's right, Patty. A few weeks ago, I went online to godirect.org to sign up for direct deposit. It's easy to do, and I got my cash at warp speed.
Wow, it's fast and easy. I'll sign up right now to make sure I'm prepared for our next mission.
Carol Marks is one of America's leading experts on upper demographic issues and a champion in the battle against ageism in our society. Her fabulous new book, Modern Aging, A Guide for Seasoned Citizens to Achieve Health, Happiness, and Purpose, published by Talkers Books, is a major breakthrough in providing a maturing population with vital information and inspiration to live better and more productive lives. Carol Marks offers practical strategies for juggling work, romance, and navigating the healthcare system. She is a guide through the maze of grandparenting, technology, travel, and retirement, as well as facing the sandwich generation's struggle of supporting adult children and elderly parents. Modern Aging by Carol Marks is available now at www.talkersbooks.com. That's www.talkersbooks.com.
If you plan to apply for Social Security disability benefits, there are things you can do to help speed up the usual 3 to 5 month wait for a decision. The more information you provide up front, the less time it'll take us to obtain the needed evidence, and the faster the decision can be made. Information like medical records or documentation, the names, addresses, and phone numbers of your doctors and medical facilities, information on your past employment, and more. To be prepared, visit www.socialsecurity.gov/disability and select Disability Starter Kits.
Continuing now with A Touch of Gray, the talk show for grown-ups, Michael Harrison in the anchor chair. We come to the segment of our program, which we're joined by our senior correspondent, Richard Neer. In just a few minutes, Richard Neer will be interviewing Dr. Donica Moore. She is highly regarded as a woman's health educator and advocate. She's known as Dr. Donica and is president of the Sapphire Women's Health Group and hosts drdonica.com. You try saying that four times. drdonica.com, a popular women's health information website. And she's going to talk about the risk of shingles. And that's coming up next. So, Richard, you already conducted this interview with Dr. Donica. Don't get me started on doctors that use their first names. If I were a doctor, I would never use my first name. I'd be Dr. Harrison.
You would be Dr. Oz.
Oh, yeah, Dr. Oz. It sounds like something out of a mystical, yes. Fantasy. And now, the wizard has been replaced by a doctor. The Doctor of Oz. But don't you think it's kind of like, with all respect to Dr. Donica, that's a kind of a cool name, Dr. Donica. But don't you think it's enough already of all these doctors calling themselves by their first names?
Doctor Who?
Well, Doctor Who? Doctor Who's on first, you know. But, what did it start with? Did it start with Dr. Ruth? I think she was the first one.
Yeah, I mean, I guess even television doctors, it was always Dr. Ben Casey, Dr.
It was never Dr. Ben, it was Dr. Casey.
Dr. Kildare, yeah.
Yeah, yeah, you know.
I think Dr. Kildare's first name, do you? I don't know that.
No. Kenny Kildare. Do you remember Ben Casey? He was such a morose figure.
Vince Edwards played Ben Casey.
I thought Vince Edwards, and you know who I used to love on that show? The guy that played Dr. Zorba.
Dr. Zorba.
Oh, yeah. With the hair. And yeah. If you ever see an old rerun of Ben Casey, Dr. Zorba's hair doesn't look as big as it did back in the early 60s when that show was on in black and white. His hair was like Art Garfunkel. It's like,
well, he was sort of the Einstein character, remember?
Right.
And he was in, a great actor, he was in The Day the Earth Stood Still.
Yes.
And he had that great line, such power exists. And Michael Rennie said, yes, I can assure you it does.
Wow. That was a breakthrough movie. Terrible movie.
What, the Day the Earth Stood Still? No, the original one. Not that.
Well, of course, which brings up a whole other topic, that you cannot make anything that was great in a classic form, like King Kong or The Day the Earth Stood Still, with modern technology and have it be better than the original. It ruins it.
You're right.
But I was going to say, does Dr. Donica tell us anything about shingles that we don't already know? Like, if we don't get our shots, we're going to suffer excruciating pain.
Well, I think that's the whole thing about shingles. I'm told, I've never had them, but I know people who have who tell me that it is the most excruciating pain. You actually want to die when you have shingles. You say, put me out of my misery now. It's that painful.
Really? Can't wait to hear this. But no, it's important, and I don't mean to make light of it. But I don't know. I think it's about time the doctors start using their last names again. If I had a radio show and I were a doctor, I would not be Dr. Mikey.
I think it's part of the bedside manner thing. They want you to feel comfortable with the doctor. They want you to feel like he's your friend and you can talk to him and open up, as opposed to an authority figure that you're afraid to share information. Because a lot of people, and we've talked about it on the show a lot of times, they lie to their doctors. They don't want to tell, oh, it really hurts here. They try to be stoic and say, oh, it's nothing, when it could be something.
Do you think that they're more prone to lie to their doctor if their doctor is an authority figure, or do you think they're more prone to lie to their doctor if their doctor is a friend?
I think if an authority figure. I mean,
really?
If somebody's very stern with you, don't you kind of tend to hold back things, as opposed to somebody who's very friendly and just shoots the breeze with you?
I find most doctors in this day and age, and we're going to have to take a break, but I find most doctors today are pretty friendly. I and maybe that's because I'm older than most of the doctors that I deal with. When I was a little kid, going to the doctor, they were God. But now, you know, it's some Schmendrick who just got out of medical school 5 years ago.
Yeah.
All right, enough of that. We're going to listen to the conversation, and Richard will be back. We'll talk about some other interesting things of popular culture when A Touch of Grey, the talk show for grown-ups, continues.
Hi, this is Morgan Freeman. Has anyone ever said, you are the picture of health? You look healthy and you feel fine. But that may not be the full picture. Colorectal cancer is the second leading cancer killer of men and women over 50. Doesn't always cause symptoms, but it can be prevented. Get screened. Make sure you are the picture of health.
A message from the U.S. Department of Health and Human Services and the Centers for Disease Control and Prevention.
Carol Marks is one of America's leading experts on upper demographic issues and a champion in the battle against ageism in our society. Her fabulous new book, Modern Aging, A Guide for Seasoned Citizens to Achieve Health, Happiness, and Purpose, published by Talkers Books, is a major breakthrough in providing a maturing population with vital information and inspiration to live better and more productive lives. Carol Marks offers practical strategies for juggling work, romance, and navigating the healthcare system. She is a guide through the maze of grandparenting, technology, travel, and retirement, as well as facing the sandwich generation struggle of supporting adult children and elderly parents. Modern Aging by Carol Marks is available now at www.talkersbooks.com. That's www.talkersbooks.com.
Hi, I'm Sigourney Weaver. If you're like me, your dog or cat is part of the family, and they rely on you to take care of them. Like a family doctor, your veterinarian and staff know what's best for that special family member. So visit your vet regularly for checkups, for prevention of disease like heartworm, and for the best advice on everyday issues like flea and tick control. Your veterinarian knows best, so take the time to ask questions. For healthy pets, visit the vet.
A message from the American Animal Hospital Association.
Continuing now with A Touch of Gray, the talk show for grown-ups. I'm Michael Harrison in the anchor chair. I want to remind you, if you want to hear some of the best shows we've done over the years, they're in the archives at our website, atouchofgray.com. We spell gray with an E. We also have a lot of information there about Carol Marks, her adventures around the world. Check it out, atouchofgray.com, and gray is spelled with an E. All right, as promised, here's our senior correspondent, Richard Neer, in conversation with Dr. Donica Moore. Highly regarded as a woman's health educator and advocate, she's known as Dr. Donica, as I pointed out before, and she's president of the Sapphire Women's Health Group and hosts DrDonica.com, a popular women's health information website. She is going to talk to Richard now about the risk of shingles.
And, Donica, I take it you're not here to talk about roofs, right?
No. Although I did look into why shingles is actually called shingles, where the name came from. Yesterday, and it turns out it comes from the Latin word for girdle, because shingles most commonly affects people on their chest or torso in a strip-like or band-like distribution, almost like sort of like a girdle would have. So I think it's confusing because it's got this, you know, common name, but people don't really know what it is. It's actually caused by, it's a disease caused by the same virus that causes chickenpox.
Yeah, the last time I went to my doctor last year, she said, "Have you had your shingles vaccine?" And I said, "I didn't know there was such a thing. Tell us about it."
Well, that's something people should talk to their doctors about. And, you know, doctors can be very useful sources of information. I think it's important that people know what shingles is, which is a disease caused by the same virus as chickenpox. And what happens is when you get chickenpox or are exposed to chickenpox, the virus remains dormant in your system for decades. And then all of a sudden, seemingly without any provocation, it can literally erupt into this horribly painful, blistering, red, itchy rash on one side of the body, generally on the chest, but it can affect any part of your body, including the face. And the symptoms can last for about 30 days. So it can be very, very painful. It's also very, very common. It affects 1 in 3 adults in our lifetime, and there are about 1 million new cases a year.
Dr. Moore, do we have any indication as to what causes this dormant virus to all of a sudden flare up?
We don't have any specific indications, but we know general risk factors. So the number one most common risk factor is just age. It can affect people at any age, but we become at much greater risk once we hit 50. And then after that, our risk increases with each decade. So age is certainly an issue. And we think it's because as we age, our immune system becomes weakened or weakens gradually over time. And similarly, anything that causes our immune system to be further weakened can further increase our risk.
Now, if we have never had chickenpox or never been exposed to chickenpox, and I imagine that's a pretty small minority of people, but can we get shingles even though we haven't been exposed to chickenpox?
Yes, because we know that 98% of all adults actually have been exposed based on blood testing. So if you are pretty sure that you never had chickenpox, chances are, given that you are a grown-up, you probably were exposed to it at some point in your life, but there are situations where some doctors will test people to make sure that they have antibodies to chickenpox, and that's particularly a concern in pregnancy. So we want to make sure that any pregnant women have already built up antibodies to chickenpox. Now, one of the other common questions we get about shingles is whether shingles is contagious. We know chickenpox is very contagious. Are shingles contagious? And the answer is no. So you cannot catch shingles from another person, And you also can't make it worse on yourself by spreading it, sort of the way poison ivy would work. However, the caveat is, if you have shingles and you're in the blistering phase of shingles, you would be contagious to somebody who's never had chickenpox, and they could catch chickenpox from your shingles.
Wow.
So again, what we would warn people who have shingles, if they're in the blistering stage, they shouldn't be holding any new babies or, you know, be around pregnant women who might be at risk.
Well, I have known people who have had shingles, and they tell me it is the worst awful pain they've ever experienced in their life. They tell me it is just horrible.
I've heard of that, and those people probably have just had shingles. 20% of people with shingles can go on to develop a consequence called postherpetic neuralgia, which is a mouthful, so we shorten it to PHN. And that's a condition where the pain persists long after the shingles have resolved. And these people can have pain for years, and they describe the pain as their skin is so sensitive that it's painful just to have their clothing touch their skin, or even a light breeze can really aggravate them. So, you know, that is a really, really frustrating condition, and we don't have a great solution for that. The bad news about shingles is there's no cure. The good news is there are some treatment options available, but they work in particularly the class of medicines called antivirals. But ideally, you need to contact your doctor within 72 hours of getting your first symptoms for those to be effective. And then, of course, we can...
And are the symptoms the rash and the itching, and is it just a small one at first? I mean, can you... think it's a mosquito bite, for example?
I wish I could show you photographs, but people could go to shinglesinfo.com, which has a great photo gallery, which shows examples of cases that range from mild to moderate to severe. It shows pictures of what shingles looks like on different parts of your body, and what it looks like in people with different skin tones. So you can really get a good sense of what it looks like. But the blistering aspect of it is pretty unique and pretty characteristic.
Now, Dr. Moore, I got bit last year by red ants, by these fire ants, and my whole midsection, I wasn't bitten in the midsection, I was bitten on the leg, mm-hmm. but my whole midsection broke out in this terrible rash right around my collarbone and my waist. Is that a similar situation, a reaction like shingles would be?
No, and one of the other characteristics of shingles is that it's generally only on one side of the body. So if you had called your doctor about that rash, probably one of the first questions she would ask you is, does your rash cross the midline? And if it was like over your whole midsection, that would be, you know, something that would tell me this is probably not shingles. Plus the fact that you got bitten by red ants would also tell me this is not shingles. But you also was very unlikely for you to have blistering with that rash.
Well, I'll tell you, if it's anything like shingles, I want no part of shingles because
well,
I'll tell you.
Anybody who wakes up and says, you know, I really hope I get shingles. you know, it's not something that's on most people's radar screen, and so I really appreciate you taking the time to educate your audience about this. But it's something people need to be aware of. You know, it is very common. It's a condition that is more likely to affect us the older we are. And it's a condition that can be very, very painful.
Well, my doctor told me anybody over 50 should check out the vaccine because the vaccine apparently is pretty effective. And it's obviously, as we've been talking, something you don't want to go through.
Yeah, I think when it comes to personal matters, people need to discuss that with their personal physician. That's the most important place for personal medical information. But also there is a lot of general medical information at shinglesinfo.com.
That's Dr. Donica Moore in conversation with Richard Neer. And if you want more information, it's important stuff, shinglesinfo.com, shinglesinfo.com. I'm Michael Harrison. Richard Neer returns for some final words when we hit our final segment of the two-hour get-together. That's coming up next when A Touch of Gray, the talk show for grown-ups, continues right here on this absolutely wonderful talk radio station in just a moment.
You're age 65 and you've made your decision to keep working and delay receiving your benefits. That's fine, but don't forget about Medicare. Most people should apply for Medicare coverage within 4 months of reaching age 65. And there's a fast, convenient, and simple way to apply for Medicare in as little as 10 minutes. Online at www.socialsecurity.gov/Medicare only. That's socialsecurity.gov/Medicare only.
Carol Marx is one of America's leading experts on upper demographic issues and a champion in the battle against ageism in our society. Her fabulous new book, Modern Aging, A Guide for Seasoned Citizens to Achieve Health, Happiness, and Purpose, published by Talkers Books, is a major breakthrough in providing a maturing population with vital information and inspiration to live better and more productive lives. Carol Marx offers practical strategies for juggling work, romance, and navigating the healthcare system. She is a guide through the maze of grandparenting, technology, travel, and retirement, as well as facing the sandwich generation struggle of supporting adult children and elderly parents. Modern Aging by Carol Marx is available now at www.talkersbooks.com. That's www.talkersbooks.com.
She's conquered some of the most challenging ski courses anywhere, but with only one leg, the odds were against her even walking.
The growth was stunted in my right leg when I was born, and the doctors told my mother we needed to amputate when I was 5 years old.
Bonnie was helped at a Shriners Hospital, one of a network of 22 hospitals helping kids throughout North America. Shriners Hospitals provide world-class orthopedic and burn medical care, and they offer that care totally free of charge.
The care and treatment the Shriners gave me was a gift. It wasn't just about learning to walk. They helped me to believe in myself.
There's a Shriners Hospital helping kids from this area realize their dreams.
If I went back to the Shriners Hospital and talked to the nurses and doctors, I would say thank you. Thank you for making my dreams come true.
If you know a child they could help, call 1-800-237-5055. Shriners, giving help and hope to kids for over 80 years.
Engine.
Check.
Thrusters.
Check.
Fuel.
Check.
Computers.
Check.
Social Security.
No check, go direct.
That's right, Patty. A few weeks ago, I went online to GoDirect.org to sign up for direct deposit. It's easy to do, and I got my cash at warp speed.
Wow, it's fast and easy. I'll sign up right now to make sure I'm prepared for our next mission.
Continuing with A Touch of Gray, the talk show for grown-ups, I'm Michael Harrison in the anchor chair. We come to the final segment of our big two-hour get-together and more conversation with our friend Richard Neer, senior correspondent on the program. And you know, Richard, I was thinking back earlier about our conversation about Vince Edwards, and I thought he had died a young man. He didn't die an old man, but he lived to almost 70 years old, didn't make a lot of TV shows after Ben Casey. But, you know, sometimes when people die young, they have a different place in the history, or at least in our memory, of how we would think about them if they had died as an old person. And
well, there's a great, and it's all over the place. It's in USA Today, Huntington Post. I mean, it's all over the place. Of this company, this guy who is a rock aficionado, who hired this company who does this computer aging, and he took pictures of John Lennon and Jim Morrison and Jimi Hendrix and Janis Joplin and all these, Kurt Cobain, all these rock icons, and aged them as to what they would look like today. Mm. And it's amazing. And you look at it and you go, wow, that's really probably what they would look like today.
And we would think of them differently. Our memory of John and Robert Kennedy was always as young men,
mm-hmm.
and our memory of the youngest of the Kennedy brothers, Ted Kennedy, is as an old man. And he was the youngest. If you look back at the old, black and white, you know, newsreels of that time, and it's amazing. When you look back at that time, it's mostly black and white. It's mostly newsreels. It was very much like the 50s and 40s in the 60s. Ted was like a kid. Ted was extremely Young when he was elected senator from Massachusetts. And Bobby was extremely young, but he would have been today, they would have been elderly men. John Kennedy would probably be in his 90s. It's the 50th anniversary of his assassination.
Sure. Well, he died at age, what, 46, 50 years? 96, he'd be 96.
So it's just, you know, it's hard to fathom Marilyn Monroe as an old person. Jim Morrison.
The other thing you can get now in the computers, it's just amazing, and you can Google it, look it up, is colorized pictures. They have colorized pictures from the Civil War of generals. They have colorized pictures of the people in the 20s, and it brings the history home because you're used to seeing these old black and white pictures, and it looks like, oh, this is another era. You see it in color, and you can relate to them as people today.
Yeah, we always tend to think of the old days as being in black and white.
Yeah,
and you know, or in the 20s, they not only was it black and white, but they walked a funny pace because the cameras were cranked by hand. The cameramen had to actually in their head have like a whatever that meter is called that you know keeps time. So that they had their hands go at a steady pace. They had to figure out what was natural. The fact that it even came as close as it did is amazing. But remember the controversy, like when Ted Turner had all those classics colorized, like King Kong and old Casablanca, and people said it's not natural, you know, the color is not right. You do realize that there is no such thing as natural color, that even color films are colorized. That there's no true color, you know.
Digital,
yeah. When you take a picture of something that's black and white, you make a color. It's no less real in color than a camera with color film or color digital. Every time you go to a department store and look at all the different color TVs, they all have different color. So it really are color pictures of Abraham Lincoln or, you know, Albert Einstein. We should pick, again, like so many things, time has run out. Richard, thank you. We'll talk again next week. Richard Neer joins us each week. Thank you, Richard Neer. Thank you, Beverly Santinello on the front line, our producer. Thank you. Oh, great one, Carol Marks, the founder of the program and its host. Thank you, Steve Wiseman, the entire Touch of Grey broadcast team, Kevin Casey, everybody. I'm Michael Harrison, inviting you to join us next weekend right here for another 2-hour installment of A Touch of Grey, the talk show for grown-ups.